So my wife, she had some of these puffy, cheese puffs. She had a bag. It was a very nice looking bag. Brand new bag of cheese puffs. Nice lettering. And you know, half full, like most of them. It was probably more than half full. She looked and it was very nice. She started eating them. The bottom third had like fried worms in it. Way. So you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't just go by the outside. She was just going to throw them away. I said, no, take them back and let the store know about that. You know, you need to know about that. And like, so kind of like if somebody brought in a real shiny car for Bill to look at, and it was knocking, the transmission was slipping, and something was, like somebody had poured sand in it or something, like something really bad, you know, like, that car wouldn't be so nice, would it? It's like, so like the inside is very important. And God made us, he made us like himself, and we're made in God's image, and he made the outside and he made the inside. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Like, so you can have something that's clean on the outside, right? But when you look inside, oh, it's not clean on the inside, right? You can have that. And God made the outside. Nothing wrong with the outside. It's fine. But and who took a shower this morning? You don't have to answer. I get a shower once a week, whether I need it or not. But who put on a clean shirt or deodorant or brushed their teeth? You know, who combed their hair? You know, there's the outside, right? And then we also have behaviors and speech. You know, some of us, we're worried about our outside, so we don't want to get around too many people because they might, you know, like think we're strange or something. So we're so consumed about our behaviors and speech, or that's what makes us shy sometimes. I was a very shy kid. But when Samuel was appointed as a king, what did God say? He said, man looks at the outside, right? But God, he looks at the heart. And so man looks at the outside. Why does, and man looks at the outside. And why did God say that to Samuel? Because he was looking at the outside and, oh, that older brother. Nah, right? And and sometimes as Christians, we learn to move and act in an external way. And that's good because God made the outside, right? We should behave and we should learn certain things. But we can get confused. We can forget about the inside. And the inside is like, it's deep. And so God made my nose, my eyes, my ears, my hair. And some get totally occupied with that. But the reality is, we're made much deeper than that. There's a lot more below the surface. We're really deep. And God made the inside. And I heard that they have this facial recognition software, and it can recognize 250,000 expressions on a human face. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, God made the outside, you know? And we have expressions on our face. And, but he made the inside too. And so in the inside, he made us to be able to think and to feel. And on the inside, he made us with a spirit. And guess, as believers, guess what else is on the inside? The Holy Spirit is on the inside. Now, that's deep. That's deep. And it doesn't appear yet who we are, but when we see him face to face, Then we'll know. Then we'll know. But so we can clean the outside, but don't forget, he made us really deep. And so we really, where we live is inside. That's really, why are there so many psychologists or psychiatrists in the Western world? Because our inside is very troubled, right? Our inside is troubled. And probably in the Eastern world too. I haven't been there, but I'm sure all humans are human, right? And so we can have the perfume and the clothes, learn to behave. And in Christianity, we learn this. We learn churchiosity or Christian ways of talking, and it's only on the surface. It's only external. And in a way, there's nothing wrong with that because God made the outside, but there's much deeper. So some, their whole outside is consumed, especially nowadays with social media, right? It's like, how do you look on social media? I don't care what I really am, but how do I look on social media? Like, how are people perceiving me? And but that's only surface. There's much more. And some, sadly to say, some Christianity never goes deeper than that either. And but Jesus goes there. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and he's on the inside. John 14:6, he'll come and help you. He will come and help you. Where is he helping you? On the inside. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he's our helper. He's helping us on the inside. And, yeah, and he'll show us things, show us all things, fill us, give us a connection. We can have communion with God. And this isn't just any spirit. This is the Holy Spirit, so we know it's right. And he came to dwell. Where did he come to dwell? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? On the inside. Like, on the inside. And so just everybody stand up and talk to your neighbor and say, what's he talking about? And just talk to your neighbor a little bit. Say, what's he talking about? And explain it in your own words. So Jesus said, beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And sometimes it's a teaching, actually. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But so the Pharisees, when he's talking about this, beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They were consumed with the outside, right? So there's many examples of that in the Bible, but just one of them would be like, they don't commit adultery, right? They don't commit adultery, but in their heart, they're committing adultery, right? And then here's another one. They don't get angry on the outside, not like everybody else. They're very sophisticated. They go by the system. They have a system for everything, and there's a logical sequence of what they do. And the way I know this is they do get angry, but they don't get angry like everybody else. That's why they worked the corrupt system to have Jesus crucified. They hired false witnesses to come against them. They didn't just get angry and mob them. They could have killed them themselves, right? But no, they were like, on the outside, we represent the law. We're very peaceful, gentle people. You know, we're right. But on the inside, they're having it murdered. And but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't like her, or I don't like him. I'm jealous of them. You know, you have hatred and jealousy. And what do we need to do? We need to change our spirit and change our mind. Like, I like what David said. He said, worship is reorientating yourself. How many people agree with that? You come in here, your mind's over here, and you start worshiping like, oh yeah. Like, this is who God is, and this is who I am. God's awesome. I'm a sinner, and I need some recalibrating. I need some reorientating. And he also said it was rebaselining. have no idea what that is, but it sounds good. You come back to who Jesus is, right? He's the foundation and the baseline. I guess that's what it means. But reorientating. So how do we do that? Well, we have to remember the blood. We have to remember what Jesus did. That's why we have communion, right? To remember. We got to continually remember that he paid for our sins. And like, we can get consumed with what a bad person we are, but when we take it to the cross, we give it to him. We give it to him. And we have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We, in Romans 5:5, the Holy Spirit, the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We receive love. And love is what motivates us, right? And then the Word, still on the Word. The Word, it affects our understanding. It affects our mind, right? It affects us, and it motivates us in our heart, like when we really receive the Word of God. It's not just motivating us externally. And you can take it. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It'll motivate you in your heart and give you life. And it washes us. So we need to reorientate ourselves. And through worship, too. I didn't put that on my slide, but you could put that on the slide. We need to worship God. We need to set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died. That's the cross. Your life is hid with God in Christ. I think that's Colossians 3:3. And so I heard this analogy. Somebody was like, I can't get saved now. I'm such a bad person. And the guy said, do you ever say before you get a shower, you're too dirty to get a shower? You know, like nobody ever says that. You say, I need to get saved because I'm such a bad person. You know, like, I need a shower. And actually, you can take that analogy and apply that to our walk, too. Like, sometimes Satan will sow these little seeds in our mind, like, you can't walk with God right now because of this or that. Well, go get a shower. Go get a reorientation. Praise the Lord in all times, right? In all times, praise the Lord. And so the old joke, I get a shower once a week, whether I need it or not. Well, what's the truth of that? You need a shower more than once a week is the truth of that, right? That's the truth of that. Actually, one day last week, I'll brag on myself, I got a shower twice in one day. So I was already really dirty, got a shower, and then I got really sweaty and dirty again, I got another shower. But that very rare event. But that's the external. Internally, what we're talking about, internally. Yeah, we need God. We need a cleaning all the time, every day. So David's three mighty men, David said, oh, I wish I had some water from the well in Bethlehem. I wish I had that. And so did they look around and say, are the TV cameras rolling? Anybody looking? Where's the, here, we're going to get this water. Let's get a video. We can post it on social media. You know, what motivated them to go do this crazy thing? I mean, it was risky, right? It was a risk and it was crazy. It was that they had a heart of love, that they loved David, and they were willing to do anything for him. And that was on the inside, right? That was on, and nobody had to know about it. It was them and David. And our hearts are touched. And when our hearts are touched, then we actually touch the heart of Jesus. And you've heard the story, is it? Yeah. The widow with the two mites. Jesus said, that's good. Look at that. Everything she had. That's incredible. Look at the inside of that lady. Look at her. Or how about the woman who broke the box of ointment, the alabaster flask? Ooh, wow. Or how about even Peter after he denied the Lord three times, and then he began to weep and cry. Why did he weep and cry? Yeah. Not that we're perfect or we don't fail, but we have a heart on the inside for God, right? When we do, we weep and cry. And, yeah. So this is kind of like we have to take it to the cross. And this is Philippians 3:17-21. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Isabel and Joshua came out soul winning tomorrow. We're going to note that. And Mark does the sound system every week. I mean, let's note that. Okay, moving on. And for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the cross is the answer to your boring life. Really. If you have a boring life, like, just submit to God. God made the inside so that you can be filled with the Spirit. And how? Well, you're created in God's image. And if you're a new creation, like, the Holy Spirit's there. And that's how. And the beautiful thing about the inside, the beautiful thing is you don't have to worry about how good or bad you are. Beautiful thing about the inside, it's Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not me personally being so good, but it's actually Christ. It's actually when you go to the cross and that's where you find Christ. And the body of Christ on the inside, we have something like mercy. Oh, give me some mercy. I need mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And like when we give each other mercy, that's good, right? Or compassion and kindness. Joy, where'd that come from? Yeah, nice. But if you have an outside, but you actually have an empty inside, that's a hypocrite. And I say, but I don't do in my heart. And at times, we're all hypocrites. Like, don't condemn yourself. Like, the Holy Spirit will convict us, but not condemn us, right? Like, the purpose is for us to change our mind and agree with God. And something that might be missing the inside. Like, say, unity in a church. How does the church have unity? Through the cross. Through the cross. There's a unity. And why was Paul weeping? Why was Paul weeping? He says he's weeping. Verse 18. He was weeping. He was weeping because there was no cross. These people had no cross. Their God, or their belly, which I think is emotions, but their stomach, their hormones, they had no cross. And the cross, when we look at the cross, then our God is not our belly. And that can be literally, but it can also be a lot of other things that represents. And we're all together and we all have life and body life. And we're not perfect. We're not judgmental. We're not arrogant. And we're not better. Because we know that any life we have is only Christ. It's Christ in us. It's not us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is what motivates us, that Christ in us, that love of God motivates us. When we sing how great you are, or God is so great, and we worship God, like it can come from the inside. And it will happen that sometimes you'll do things when no one's watching, and you even surprise yourself, like praying a deep prayer. It could be long or short, but a long one that's actually deep, and you're like, whoa, that was awesome. It's like nobody has to be watching you. You were motivated not to judge, but to serve. Jesus said he didn't come to judge. He said his word will judge, but he came to serve. So how can it be that we judge? That's ridiculous. Like, Jesus didn't judge, right? How can we judge? And then we're hypocrites and we do it all the time. But what do you got to do? You got to have a recalibration, or what is it, a reorientation. You got to get the foundation. You got to go back to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. He's our life. When Christ, who is our life? Our life. We can have an image, but no power. A form of godliness, but deny the power on the inside. And an individual or an entire church can have a great Bible knowledge, right? It can have money, can have a building, have awesome worship. We can have a new drummer that makes our worship incredible, right? And we can have awesome worship, or you could even have like symphony type worship, classical hymns or whatever, like very top quality. But if you're missing the inside, the true worship, the true sacrifice, risk and courage. Where did those words come from? Risk and courage. Like David. David took risk, and his men, his mighty men, took risk and courage. And David was a man after God's own heart. Like, it was from the inside that he did that. It was from the inside that he could go against Goliath. And Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be strengthened in the inner man. Strengthened in the inner man. And why? Why did he pray that? Because they needed prayer in that area, right? And well, we all need prayer in that area. But Ephesus, it became the church that moved from the inside to their activity on the outside, right? And that was their life, their church life. That they gravitated toward behavior rather than brokenness. And you cannot really touch people with the outer man. You can teach people, but you can't touch them. With the inner man, Christ can touch people. He can touch people. And the inner man's where it's at. It's where we find a motivation by love. And this, I would say, with your life, and with the church, we can't presume that we can be on autopilot without brokenness. We have to take up the cross. We have to go to the cross every day. We have to reorientate ourselves through praise. And that sometimes is a sacrifice of praise, right? We're like, we're giving this to you. We're giving this to you. And beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. A teaching that it's the outside only. The outside that matters more than the inside. But I'm teaching to the choir. But beware. The choir needs to beware, right? But beware. And so, like, we think of this church here, we think of brotherly love. Really love. What else we think about? Come on. What are godly things in the spirit that come through the body?
Spiritual gifts,
spiritual gifts. Somebody exercising their gifts in the church. Yeah. There's somebody exercising their gift. Wow. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And then you think of gifts of the Spirit. You also think of fruit of the Spirit, right? You think, wow, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Ah, it's coming. It's coming through the body of Christ, right? And we think of, how about a fervent worship from the heart? From the heart, like a praise that comes from the heart. And anybody ever catch themselves? I do it all the time. You're praising. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know, you're singing, but your mind's like somewhere else. You know, like you're thinking about cooking some brownies or something. I don't know what you're thinking about, but you're not thinking about praising God, right? But like on the inside, we praise God. On the inside, we're like, praise God. Like all our blessings come from Him, and we're really worshiping in this church. not selfish. A heart for missions. Joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. Joy in the midst of trials. Giving with a heart like the widow with two mites. Like, there's so many things. And like forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Why do we need to forgive? Because somebody hurt us. And that might be in the church too. And like, people in the church can act in their flesh, but the body of Christ builds itself up in love. It loves them anyway. And we love each other, warts and all. And it's like, that's what's beautiful, because Christ loved us like that. And this is our church. And this is the final one that made me think of David. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all those who have pleasure in them. And he loves that. He has pleasure in the mountains and the stars. He like puts pictures of the big telescope and all this stuff. But there's works even better than that. There's works deeper than that. And that's just they show the glory of God. They reveal the glory of God. But did he not also make the inside? And like, these are works of God. And we look and we study at somebody's 250,000 facial expressions, and we probably have a subconscious that can pick up on them, and we don't even know that. And we're being edified in love by somebody doing some kind of whatever they do. And maybe that facial expression is only theirs. They have it, or their family or something. And you've learned that this is how they react to something, and they're edifying you. Amazing. From the heart. Amen. Let's stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making our inside. Thank you for living in us. We pray that we can be led by the Spirit. We can constantly reorientate. We can repent and change our mind when we need to and have the mind of Christ. We have that, and we can live in it. In Jesus' name, amen.